What is going on, everybody? Welcome to Five Rounds Today. His name is Robin Black. I am John Ramdean. Believe it or not, there is no UFC coming up this weekend. It is a rare weekend off, so to speak, when you look at the grand scheme of things. But coming up on October 24th, however, the UFC returns to Ireland. And man, it's a pretty solid fight card. You look at the main event, Dustin Poirier, who, in my opinion, is just, when you think about the top 15 favorite fighters, so to speak, based on skill, based on desire, based on willing to get hurt, to give hurt. Dustin Poirier is at the top of that. Somewhere on the list. I don't know where that, because that's not a real list. But when you think about
it, is.
It is a real list. It's my list. But I have a feeling Dustin Poirier is that for you as well.
Yeah, and I have a feeling Dustin Poirier, there are a lot of different ways to enjoy fighting, different reasons people enjoy fighting, and different people enjoy it for different reasons. Yeah. But I guarantee you this guy's on fighters list.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, like fighters and coaches. And when other fighters are sitting in the back and ready to fight, or they just finished, they feel good they won, or it's, you know, didn't go that well, but they're able to hang out, he's a guy they want to watch fight. All those fighters underneath that card, once they go back out, they get stitched up and shit, they want to go see him.
Now, why is that? Is it just because he brings a certain intensity? Doesn't matter if he gets hurt, he pushes through the pain, and the goal is, I'll submit you if I have to submit you, but I'm there to knock your fucking brains out.
Yeah, there's something different about these guys, and even guys who fight, there's different levels of them. You know, I fought at a pretty low level, and I'm not instinctively a fighter. This guy's instinctively a fighter. So other people marvel at those guys. Like, name me somebody on fight number two or fight number three we know.
Okay, we have the fight card, as we know, main event.
Yeah.
Irish Joe Duffy taking on Dustin Poirier. Yeah. Awesome.
Awesome.
Co-main event. Awesome as well. Stipe Miocic versus Ben Rothwell.
Yeah, okay. So Stipe Miocic feels like a guy who's a smart athlete who likes to figure out ways to beat you up. And Dustin Poirier is a guy who likes to beat people up, who then figures out how to do it.
Yeah,
you know what
right.
I mean? Like, it's like you talk to Miocic and he loves to train. He loves to find answers. Yeah. He loves to get better. He's in search of physical greatness. This guy's in search of a fight. And we know people who have been in a situation of conflict in a bar and standing behind him with Dustin Poirier.
Yeah,
checking out the scenario because a fight's happening. He
wants to be a part of it.
He needs to be a part of it. And now, as an athlete, fighting has become, and a lot of this we're sort of saying what we see or observe, not knowing him more than a few conversations that we've had. I'm going to have one with him later today. But but you get the feeling that martial arts has taken this pretty aggressive dude and given him a purpose.
Of course.
So he doesn't fight in that bar, despite the fact that his better instincts might be to get in there. And when you see him fight, like that fight in Quebec City that he had. Tell me who that was again. It was, you've got the thing there. It was Quebec City and Akira Korsani?
Yeah, Akira Korsani. That's who it was. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and so he gets, and he pockets.
Korsani looked good, really good in that fight.
Very good. But he also fought Korsani the way Korsani wants to be fought.
Yeah.
You know what? And I asked him why he did that after. I'm like, dude, you could have, your range is great, your jab is nice, your footwork is good. You could have jabbed him out till he got aggressive, taken him down, submitted him. Yeah, damn right I could have. I don't like fighting that way. And I'm like, wow. I mean, he's sitting there with 50,000 more in his pocket. And he's like, I like to get in there and best this other man. Korsani's a killer counterpuncher who wants you to come in and go at him. The reason that fight made them so much money is he gave Korsani what he wanted and still beat him. That's rare.
Now, what's the difference? Because you look at a style like Dustin Poirier. It's a very fan-friendly, casual fan-friendly style that also is very fan-friendly to the hardcore fans.
Yeah.
And you look at a guy like Phil Davis, for example. Again, I don't know how many casual fans say that Phil Davis, maybe after this Bellator tournament, there might be. But when he left the UFC, I don't know how many people would say, oh, that Phil Davis' style, man. Yeah. That is some pleasing entertainment. Yeah. You, because you're a martial artist, you've competed, you have an understanding that we don't understand, that, you know, he is doing what he needs to do, finding the formula to better the guy standing across the cage. And that's what, for a lot of people, is what it's about. Doesn't matter how you get the job done, it's that you get the job done.
Yeah, and I personally really enjoy watching him win. Yep. I enjoy watching him compete. I enjoy – and when you talk to him, he loves doing it. He loves training it. And
he loves winning.
And he loves winning. He loves to win. Dustin Poirier loves to fight.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And that's different. And but there's this weird thing. I've been trying to figure out what – because people will say this fight was or wasn't entertaining. And that's been something I've been trying to figure out what they mean. Because – and a friend of mine that was on their podcast, Stormland, this guy, he said what he means is if you watch a bunch of fights, but one of them, it just kept you on the edge of your seat. One of them just had the ability. So he's talking about how he felt. Mm-hmm. I'm cool with that.
Right.
Oh, man, I was blown away by this fight. But I don't like it when people go, this fight was not entertaining, because mm-hmm. they don't speak for everybody.
Right.
Like, you feel like you can say, oh, man, it wasn't an entertaining night of fights. There was a couple of finishes in the main event. There was a finish in the main event, but mm-hmm. otherwise it was boring. I think somewhere along the lines, we have forgotten or we have gone and devalued the incredibleness, because we've seen so much of it, the incredibleness of these guys committing so much of their lives to come in and give us this. That alone, to me, has so much value that I can't categorize something as entertaining or not. The idea that these men committed all of this to give us this entertainment alone makes it entertaining.
I think one of the reasons why people look at – and I know I pick on Phil Davis, but I'm just using him as an example, whereas he has a superior skill set – in a certain area, wrestling, for example. You look at the light heavyweight division, there are only a handful of guys that he is not going to be able to take down and control.
Anthony Johnson was one of them.
Yeah, and again, you can understand why. Anthony Johnson has the luxury of training with my man Rashad. Mm. Rashad has a wrestling background.
Didn't Phil take down Rashad?
I might have taken him down, but Rashad beat him.
Yeah,
so when you look at that, it's like, okay, for the most part, Phil can take down everybody.
Yeah.
And the goal is to always advance your position.
Yeah.
But if that doesn't work, I'm just going to chill out here.
For sure.
And the goal is to try to inflict damage. But if by lifting up and trying to inflict damage, spaces are created and the guy is going to get up, I'm just going to chill out here.
Yeah.
And I'm just going to play this game. And the goal is to try to hurt my opponent, but sometimes that doesn't work. Mm-hmm. And we've heard some of the top coaches in the world, guys that have been criticized, Greg Jackson's camp, for example. It's like, don't you think we want to finish guys?
Yeah.
It's not as if we don't want to. These guys are really good. They're really good.
That's
what it comes down to. And I think that when you see a guy like Phil Davis compete, self-preservation is key. It's like, okay, well, if I try this, it might work out, but I could get hurt. For me, as much as I appreciate the idea of that, I'd still rather watch Robbie Lawler, who is willing to get punched in the face and hit hard and come back even harder. That and to me, that's what it's all about. That's what it's always been about. Guys that are able to endure a certain amount of punishment and pain and still find a way.
I appreciate that more for sure. I have no problem saying if somebody says, which fight were you more blown away by, Lawler versus Rory or Phil Davis versus Anthony Johnson? I'm like, this one blew my mind.
Yeah.
And there is some medical science to that. Our vagus nerve actually gets stimulated when you watch people overcome something.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
You know, that's a physiological response to Lawler's mouth open and Rory's face caved in. That is amazing. And my worry, there's something that they call the hedonic treadmill, like hedonism, hedonic treadmill or hedonic adaptation, where whatever the situation in your world is, whether your life gets way worse because you got severely – your leg was cut off, or your life gets way better because you won a lottery – eventually you feel exactly the same happiness.
Mm.
That, so like within a year, 2 years, whatever, you will adapt, hedonic adaptation. And I feel like we do that with our stimulus. We need to be entertained. So we've seen the most entertaining
fight
ever.
But that's the culture.
That is. It is 100%
the culture.
And you're right. And when I feel this resistance to the way people need constant higher and higher levels of fighting, as a result, they pay less homage to the what they call less entertaining fights, I get frustrated by that. But I shouldn't get frustrated with that with fighting, because you're right. All of our culture is like
that. I learned that when I took my kids to go see the fireworks. So we're going down, you know, the sun's setting. Yeah. You're waiting for the fireworks. Everybody's bored because they're waiting for the fireworks. So what happens? There are fireworks, before the fireworks. People bring their own fireworks to put on a show.
Yeah, right, right.
You know, and it's just like, okay, yeah. I guess.
Well, we can't possibly sit there and wait for something even as exciting as fireworks.
But it makes it better, though, to wait. The anticipation, to me, in my opinion,
Have you ever heard of the marshmallow test? They've taken children, little children, and they take them and they put a marshmallow there, mm-hmm. and they say, you can have that marshmallow. Or if you wait 10 minutes, I'll give you two marshmallows. And the kids who can wait 10 minutes for two marshmallows, they logged the lifetimes of these people as they grew up over many decades. And the ones who could wait for the second marshmallow had better lives, better levels of happiness, better money, better everything in their life. That ability to wait and get more is a quality of life issue. And if you can't
patience is key.
Yeah, yeah. And patience, if there is a reward for patience, you should be patient. And yet sometimes we still can't.
What's funny about it is, I'll relate that to mixed martial arts. We know a lot
of – that's what we're talking about.
We have athletes that have some sort of martial arts mm-hmm. background where they say, I want to fight. I got to get to the UFC. Mm-hmm. I become 4-0. They're not as skilled as they need to be. But it's like the marshmallow.
Yeah, exactly.
Why is everybody in a rush to get to this level opposed to doing the smart thing, the right thing, to make sure that you have acquired all the skills necessary to compete in this landscape?
I think it's the same exact thing, and you're right. We're talking about fighting, and we're not high or anything. We're Canadians, but we're not. It's the same thing if you say to Henry Cejudo or Paige VanZant or whoever, hey, do you want this title shot? Logic, knowledge, like evidence says I could have a better chance of winning if I take a year, if I improve these areas. But the thing is, will I ever get it if I don't take it right now?
Yeah. Okay, so
that fear that it won't.
I love this conversation. We're going to continue this conversation when we come back. Look ahead to the mixed martial arts calendar and chat about our upcoming show. We're going to call some live mixed martial arts in Weyburn, Saskatchewan, when Five Rounds Today continues. Welcome back to Five Rounds Today. Before the break, we're talking about the marshmallow test and how you can describe it a little bit better.
If there's a marshmallow, you can have it. Yep. Or if you wait 10 minutes, you can have two marshmallows.
And this was designed for kids to see patterns.
Yeah. If you can, people who were able to wait, understand that waiting would result in more and were capable of it, showed better results in all areas of their life as they got older. I am paraphrasing.
Yeah,
of course. If I'm a little bit off on this.
It's because he's high.
I'm not high. I'm not high.
Talking about marshmallows.
Yeah, marshmallows, yeah. Then I apologize. But this is the gist of the idea, is that later in life, that one singular ability has so much ability to make your life better and all that.
What's interesting about that is what happens, though, if you have an individual that says, yeah, the marshmallow's right here. In 10 minutes, I could get two marshmallows. Yeah. What if I'm content with one marshmallow?
Yeah.
It's not going to make me, you said, happiness, you can only get to a certain level. You know, it's what are you going to do? Eat the two marshmallows? Yeah. You will. Kids will eat the two marshmallows back. But is your sensation going to be any higher from eating two than eating one?
No, you're right. And we were relating this back to getting to the UFC soon or taking a shot for a title. Yeah. Why would you do it when you know that you will improve and you need to improve? Well, one, you're fighting Demetrius Johnson. He's going to improve in that year, too.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, so, I mean, is that worth it? And the other is, never get this. They said I'm going to get two marshmallows, but what if he takes this one?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't know.
Yeah.
And I told you that we have Canadian Thanksgiving, which is different than American. Yeah. For Thanksgiving.
It's Columbus Day, I think, in the U.S.
Yeah. And I was chatting with my wife's grandfather. And
80-year-old chap.
Yeah, yeah. And he said, we were talking about thinking about tomorrow and all those kinds of things. And he goes, well, I always say, I don't buy green bananas.
Yeah.
Right. And I said, why not? He goes, well, what if I die before they turn yellow?
I do that with beer.
Yeah.
I go to the liquor store. I get a bunch of random beers from around the world. And then I go back the next day and I go back the next
day. You only get enough for...
And it's like, what happens if I'm hit by a car or get out of the parking lot? I'm going to have all of these leftover beers.
Exactly. So if... I mean, that title shot a year from now?
Yeah.
Is it green banana?
Yeah.
You know, it's a green banana. Is it going to be there still? I mean, also, we've seen lots of evidence saying that it will not be there.
But
some other star pops
right.
up. So in a lot of cases, that patience actually might harm you. Patience, doing the right things and being patient and developing, it may not be there. So people may
So that the idea of the gold at the end of the rainbow will short-circuit your self-preservation mm-hmm. whatever.
Yeah.
Because, again, we look at Henry Cejudo, for example. We all think he's very, very, very good. Is he as good as Demetrius Johnson? Not even close.
Does that mean he could win? He could win. But would he have a better chance of winning in a year
from now?
Maybe
maybe
not.
I mean, maybe not. But you would imagine he would. Yes, Demetrius Johnson is going to be getting better, but where is he going to be getting better?
Exactly.
You look at his skill set, it's like, okay, he's
what
good everywhere. So,
and you believe one thing Cejudo believes is he can outwork everybody.
Yeah, exactly.
So your year, you got this much better, but I'll get this much better.
That's right.
And maybe
bigger gains.
Yes, and maybe that will get us to that point that I can beat you 4 times out of 10, right now it's 1.
Yeah, right. Yeah. So I look at that as, okay, then why take this now when I could get hurt. Mm-hmm. I could get seriously damaged and my career could be jeopardized by taking this mm-hmm. one fight opposed to waiting the year out.
These are all the things that everybody has to deal with. Everybody deals with this in all their lives.
But fighting's different,
I think. Different because and that's one of the reasons I feel like we under-celebrate the boring fight. I feel that's wrong. There is a baseline. All fights are good fights. That's my thinking. When two athletes,
a lot of people, I would say the majority of people disagree with you.
Yeah, I think you're right.
I know I'm right.
I truly believe that. I truly
Because you're a martial artist, you've competed, you have an understanding, as I said before, that most of us don't. How many people in the world have competed in mixed martial arts? Less than 1%?
Way less. Less than 100%.
Yeah, exactly.
True, but I think, and maybe this is because of that. Maybe it's because I've been kicked in the head by guys a lot. But and it fucking hurts, you know, and it's hard, and you get headaches, and you can't sleep, and you're losing all this weight that you need to lose, and that doesn't feel right, and all of this stuff is going on. That by the time these two men or women walk in there, so much has been done to create this possibility.
People
for
don't
us
see that though.
To see this awesome, special moment. That by default makes me think it's special. If this guy falls down, if some weird twist of fate happens, that there's no action or one guy runs because he mentally breaks down, who knows what can happen? It's still to me, but because it happens so frequently, we believe it has less value. But when those guys go and do that, that is something very special.
I want to talk about the co-main event of UFC Fight Night 76. We mentioned Dustin Poirier taking on Joseph Duffy. Joe Duffy seems pretty mentally strong, too. We decided, you know what? I'm good at the submission game. I'm going to take a little time away from mixed martial arts, learn some boxing, looking good with the hands, and then decided, you know what? To change things up and round out my game, even though I'm good everywhere, let's make the move to TriStar.
Yeah, and his boxing now looks great. I want to shout out my friend Angelo Reyes. I was in Las Vegas, and he's a friend, and he's Frank Mir's boxing coach, a lot of good boxers and coaches. And the chance to go work with a really good boxing coach, just like when you work with a really good jiu-jitsu coach or a good wrestling coach or a good mental coach, it's so exciting.
Yeah, right.
You know, like, oh, new knowledge. And if I lived in Vegas, I'd train with Angelo 4 times a week because there's a whole world of stuff there. And any fighter who loves the martial arts finds that at different times. Mm-hmm. And suddenly boxing is your thing, man. Yes, I'm still going to do that. Yeah, I'm doing jiu-jitsu. Yeah, I'm wrestling. Or when guys walk into just the right wrestling room, suddenly they're like, wow, this is mind-boggling. Look what I can physically do. So when you fall in love with a new thing, it's pretty cool. And Joe Duffy seems like has fallen in love with boxing.
Yeah, I mean, it's the thing about Joseph Duffy is that he really seems, I don't want to say, he seems like he's a specialist in wherever he decides to take this
game.
Yeah,
those are the best guys.
They are the best guys. Why is that?
Man, we look at I'm doing a breakdown on Holly Holm and how she'll fight Ronda Rousey. And I did it a little bit. I workshopped it a bit with Cormier and Gustafson of different ranges. So people fight in different ranges. John Jones is good at all of them. Mm-hmm. Like, he could just be good at the outside range and make a career out of that. But then,
which many guys have done that,
and it would be a great career. And then he's inside with Teixeira, and is like, no, actually, here
I'm
even
here,
more
shoulder,
destructive.
Yeah.
And then, you know, and how do you beat that person?
I know.
What am I supposed to do to beat him? You know, when he is so good in each range, and then okay, let's make it about wrestling. Oh God, he's so good at that. Well, let's make it about defense. Shit, he beats me up there. What are you supposed to do?
Yeah.
Like that's must be, you know, obviously physically and technically really hard to overcome, but mentally, even dealing with the thing, like you have the best jiu-jitsu guy to train with, the best boxer to train with, the best wrestler to train with, they're all beating you up.
Yeah,
that's the game. Oh shit, that guy might be able to do that in all these, because people do beat you up in every range, unless you're Chris Weidman or Ronda Rousey or some of these people, or Demetrius. It must be really nice to be those guys.
We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, more talk on UFC Fight Night 76 from Dublin, Ireland. Welcome back to Five Rounds Today. Ram Dean and Black with you. UFC Fight Night 76 happening October 24th in Dublin, Ireland at the 3 Arena,
I guess.
Dustin Poirier, Joseph Duffy, Stipe Miocic, Ben Rothwell, Norman Park, Reza Madaddy, Paddy Houlihan, your guy.
Yeah.
Taking on, I'm not confident in Paddy Houlihan's abilities against Lewis Smolka. I think this is a guy you need to watch out for. We know how durable, how skilled Paddy Houlihan is, and it's going to be very, very difficult to finish this guy in his own backyard. But Lewis Smolka,
we shall see.
Yeah.
The thing with a guy like Paddy,
when
you talk to him, is how certain he is, and those guys are.
Yeah.
Like really, really tough. Like that's the thing that Chris Weidman told us to to your face how he was going to beat Anderson
Silva,
and that it was going to take two times.
Yeah.
And you have to beat him the second time because people wouldn't believe it. And we're like, okay, that sounds impressive. Imagine this. Okay, picture this. You make $60,000 a fight. You have one fight left on your contract. It's against Anderson Silva. Tell you what, man. We'll give you 100 and 100 and a new contract. Here, 100 and 100.
To beat the greatest of all time.
Yeah. And he's like, so this is a really nice contract. Way more money than you're making now. And he's like, you know, I'm going to just fight my contract out against Anderson Silva. Then when I beat him, you're going to pay me like $1 million a fight. To which they must have just been like, the balls on this guy.
Yeah.
Like, think of that. But to not only, like, talk about put your money where your dick is.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Right. Like, wow. And Paddy's that kind of guy. Paddy will tell you how his life is going to look next week, next month, in 5 years. And he is certain of it. And being certain is one thing, but these guys take action to make it real.
However, you go out there and you talk to some of the most successful people in the world. You talk to some of these psych professors. The guys that succeed, the guys and girls that succeed, are the ones that bet on themselves.
Mm-hmm.
You have to bet on yourself.
Yeah.
And that's what Chris Weidman was doing. And you know why he bet on himself? Because he remembers all the time and energy. Mm-hmm. Training wrestling over the years, training jiu-jitsu at Henzo's, working with Ray, working with all of those tough animals in New York. When the time came, I'm sure he was like, okay, this is my time. I know it's my time.
Yeah, but think of that. Yeah. Really think of it. Like, it really, really, like, try to put ourselves there. A lot of times we will watch these athletes or performers, wherever we get to see, you know, like, the greats of things. And we'll be like, oh, that's cool. But really think about it. Like, think the difference between, you know, $1 million and no money. And as you're walking down to fight Anderson Silva, you're walking out there all alone. And then they're going to play his music and he's going to dance as he's coming out. And you're like, oh, yeah, shit. Silva, damn it. Oh, man, I should have taken that contract. That's what most of us might think. If that crosses Chris Weidman's mind for a moment, the focus required to beat Anderson Silva is gone. And he put that on himself.
Yeah.
That's mind-blowing.
It is mind-blowing. So Smolka and Paddy Houlihan, I talked to our buddy Dave Klonsky about this environmental situation where you see guys take a ridiculous amount of punishment because they're in their own home venue and their people are cheering. And he says it can affect your performance. It can help you.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess it can also hurt you too because when the going gets tough, and you have all your people watching you get beaten down, you could see how it's easy for some guys to say, I tried my best.
Exactly.
I got to get out of this embarrassing situation.
And that is the part that anybody, you know, you talk to, I don't think Robbie Lawler could explain that to us very well.
Right.
But normal humans can. That a big part of what you're dealing with is not him. It's your natural inclination to do what humans do, which is protect yourself until it's over. And I've been there. And it is horrifying as you realize you are currently incapable of doing what you need to do. That is a horrifying thing to deal with. Later in your life, you'll realize that I'm not Chris Weidman. You know, I'm not that person. But most of us are.
Lots of people think that – I bet you there's a lot of people out there that believe that they are the Chris Weidmans. They are
like
the – whatever the star of the day is. Yeah,
we'd all like to believe that.
And
Robbie Lawler said he grew up wanting to be that.
Yeah.
So did 90% of the world, but Robbie Lawler is doing it. You know, and that's why we watch any sports or greatness or art or any of these things is because these people are doing mind-blowing things.
We're talking about mind-blowing Cathal Pendred. We're told that this guy is mentally strong, like ridiculously mentally strong.
Yeah.
How come we don't see the performances? Because people hyped him up as this guy to watch out for. And it just does not seem that he has lived up to expectations. He knows how to win.
Is he on this one, too?
He's on this one. Taking on Tom Breeze.
Is he like 3-1 or 4-1 in the UFC?
His record right now stands at 17 victories, 3 defeats.
But
and
his UFC loss is only one.
Lost to John Howard by split decision.
Yeah. Now, he's a very controversial guy because we make decisions as a giant fan culture. And it seems like, oh, this guy gets all these gifts and, you know, in their minds, some of them have categorized this guy as not very good. That's wrong. That's wrong.
It is wrong.
It's fun to, you know, hate a musician or it's fun to pick on a football player, Nickelback. Nickelback, can you honestly say those guys are not really good at writing songs? Of course they're good at writing songs. Of course they're good at entertaining stadiums.
Again, people would say, they're good at writing shitty songs.
That's fun to say. It's fun to have a target. But the truth of the matter is Nickelback is sitting there on mountains of money with hundreds of thousands of fans. And this guy's sitting on 4 wins and 1 loss in the UFC.
I agree.
And he's killing it.
Yeah, that's
so
very true.
Keep hating.
I got to take another break. We're going to talk more about Nickelback when we come back to 5 Rounds Today. I'm a fan. Welcome back to 5 Rounds Today. John Ramdean and Robin Black talking about UFC Fight Night 76. Before the break, we're talking about the mental strength of Cathal Pendred, part of the Straight Blast team with my man Gunnar Nelson, of course, the interim featherweight champion, and Conor McGregor, who will eventually, I think, probably be the lightweight champion.
Yeah. Maybe
you believe it's going to be the undisputed featherweight champion.
I do believe that.
And then he's huge.
He is a big guy.
Not just, I mean, his personality. Physically, he's a big dude.
Remember Brandon Vera? I think he won one fight in the UFC, and then he said he was going to be the
heavyweight and light heavyweight.
Yes, and I'm a fan of Brandon Vera, and I'm certainly not trying to pick on him, but saying it doesn't make it so. He's my example of that. But this McGregor guy is setting higher and higher goals for himself a lot, and he's – evidence has said he can keep achieving the things. I mean, he's calling rounds and stuff. Like, he is doing everything he says.
He says he's negotiating a $100 million contract right now.
That one's a hundred.
Is that not real? Got his fam a bunch of BMWs. Good for him.
I mean, good for him. Yeah, for sure. I'm a fan. No doubt about it. But listen, like, saying that you can predict your way to failure eventually because, I mean, how far are you going to go? Oh, I'm also going to be the welterweight champion. Maybe you can do that. Okay, eventually you will fail. I'm going to be the president of the United States of America. You're Irish. You know, you can predict yourself to failure. Is he doing that? Only time.
Is that true? Is that true? Because you look at a guy like Arnold Schwarzenegger, and
perfect example.
His
beautiful.
You know, the idea of being this Austrian dude. I'm gonna start working out. You know what? I'm going to be the best in the world at working out and
then
exercise.
I'm going to be a big television star.
Be a movie star. And then I'm going to be the governor of California. That's pretty insane.
Yeah, that's a very good point. That is
when is the failure happening?
Yeah, well, he knocked up the cleaning lady, and he has another family. Yeah. His wife divorced him. So along the way, something's going to go wrong. But, I mean, what – I don't think his goal was to have – a secret family. So right. Somewhere along there, you go.
We get poisoned. I think celebrity, especially at certain levels, you get poisoned.
Yes.
You get poisoned by
yes.
the fame, and you buy into your own hype, and you say, you know what? I'm going to walk this line.
Yeah,
I
yeah,
shouldn't be walking
yeah.
this line. And
Tiger
normally, normally
John
I wouldn't
Jones.
Walk. Exactly. Normally, I wouldn't walk this line, but all of this crazy stuff in my life says that I can walk the line.
Yeah. We fighters are obviously no different. But yeah, it's weird. I mean, imagine you're John Jones. And I mean, this is going to be – some of these things are going to creep into Paige Van Zandt's world, although Uriah is the perfect person to have with her. Also, I'm not sure if I'm going to keep these now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I really like Dwayne Ludwig. Yeah. I love what he's doing. But Uriah's my guy.
Yeah.
And that thought right there makes me understand.
But they're independent though.
Yeah,
like I understand because, you know –
I love this guy's work.
Yeah. It's
love
so
it.
So when you look at it as two different things, he is his one, you know, we've heard all these things where he's making racial jokes. And then you hear guys like Pete Spratt say, you know what?
He's not.
Yeah, exactly.
I like Dwayne.
Right.
I've met him. I love his work.
Yeah.
I love his work.
Yeah.
But this is a weird thing.
It's like Tarantino. I love Tarantino's work.
Yeah.
Have you ever heard that guy in an interview?
Yeah.
What a moron.
Yeah, that's true.
I got to turn the channel.
That's right.
I love his movies.
Yeah, I love Dwayne's work. And I met Dwayne. I really liked him. And but this is where suddenly I have been singing a tune that all this gossip and these guys hate each other and this thing, you know, why are we so fixated on Twitter beefs? Because when we do that, we don't have enough time to actually talk about fighting, which is maybe one of the reasons that people don't revere it the way they should.
Right.
So all of that, and I said none of that matters. And suddenly I'm going to have a Team Faber shirt on, like it's like Jennifer Aniston and whatever.
Yeah.
And if you
Jennifer
Aniston and she it was Team Jennifer and who did Brad Pitt leave her for? Angelina Jolie.
Oh,
it was Team Jennifer and Team Jolie, right? Yeah,
sure,
exactly.
Okay, yeah,
I mean,
I understand.
If you can drag me, who is vocally against that type of nonsense,
it's
meaningless
it.
To me. If you can make me care about that. I get it now. Okay.
Right.
Some people care way a lot about this. I care only a little, and I'm interested. If you cared a lot, this is the shit.
Mm-hmm.
This thing is the shit. Now, what's the UFC think? Oh, man, we're going to get rich.
Yeah.
And what's Uriah thinking? Well, it sucks to lose a friend, but I might get richer.
You and I were having a conversation about this whole TJ Dillashaw, Uriah Faber thing. Dillashaw says, okay, I'll fight him. I'm down. Faber said, I'll fight him. Is this a manufactured thing? Because, you know, you and I were discussing, let's just say you decided to make the move. We're both in the same weight class.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, the way to get the big fights is to fight for a title, to try to create heat.
We beat each other up in the gym every day.
Exactly. Yeah. We've decided to, this is what we do.
Yeah.
And the way that we're going to make the most money is have a falling out, so to speak. He's going to an enemy team. You're can never welcome back in this gym ever again. Create this crazy situation where people are emotionally invested in two brothers that kind of separated.
Yeah, and the reason that we were talking about that is because when something is valuable, this is valuable to them.
Mm-hmm.
And they know this is valuable to them. So does that mean they will use it as a tool? And how far are they going to use it as a tool? I mean, it's a very good question because if we didn't really feel this way, if we pretend to feel this way, we will make a lot of money.
Exactly.
I feel like they do feel this way.
Right.
I feel like because they have worked together so much. Also, we're already getting a little dirty. By the time TJ is sort of saying, you know, look, if this is going to be the end of his career kind of shit, that's already insulting a friend, you know? So I don't know about
that. But you remember, they closed the doors.
Yeah.
They had their little meeting. Apparently, they both cried and they hugged and this and that. I'm going to go my separate way. Before you do, let's just have a conversation about how we can both benefit from this. It's just like the thing we were talking about, how that mixed martial arts still has ties to professional wrestling.
Yeah.
And because you're trying to sell stories, and you're not, it's not just selling the best fights. You're trying to sell the most interesting elements so that people can attach themselves to it and buy into it. Oh, I have $60 to spend on the movies. I got $60 to spend on iTunes or whatever it is.
I gotta watch
these two friends smash each other. And it's like the
and whole, we every single day in the press there'll be some other stuff selling that fight as we use their words to do so.
And because we talked about the whole CM Punk situation. Is CM Punk really hurt? Or is it Duke saying, geez, just another 10 months is what we need so you do not get hurt?
And you know why he... why
we're not saying that's the case.
No, but you know why you have to ask that? Mm-hmm. Is he has participated in a world where that... fake storylines were a part of his day-to-day life as a way to make money, exposure, whatever. So you have to think about it. It is very strange that... I still, at the root of it, I feel like if our goal, and no, very few businesses' goal is this, but if our goal is to make this last as long as possible and grow organically, it would be we would educate people on actually what the fight is as much as possible, because that would give us the longer and deeper connection to people.
How many people want that connection?
Yeah, I mean, if I was the UFC or if I was someone, a stakeholder in some way in needing this thing to continue, which I feel like I am. My life revolves around this. We need to have people that are deeper connected. We could create that if they could learn and care about this. But they may not. Maybe I'm – and you and the small percentage of people that are that interested in the fight itself are rare. But the idea of this guy hates this guy and he's saying this in the press, you can get that in politics. You can get that on CNN.
That's true.
You can get that in the music
But the politicians don't punch each other in the face. They don't inflict harm on their opponent. It's like all they do is just sling mud at each other.
Yeah, that's true. And Donald Trump never gets his comeuppance.
Exactly.
That's a really good point.
Because I've been here at we've had viewing parties where big pay-per-views and the undercard is awesome. Yeah. And we have executives that it's like, the only thing I'm interested
in,
I got to see the main event. I got to see George. I got to see Brock. Yeah. It's like, well, so-and-so is on the end. Who cares?
I know. It's true. Yeah. The reason we're chatting about this probably a fair bit is we're trying to figure it out. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like I've been a bit bullheaded about my, like, evangelical approach to fighting. And I'd like to work that out. I'd like to understand why people are watching it and how they're watching it. Because just yelling that journalists are tomato cans and why do they keep asking the same questions, that's actually not getting anywhere.
Got to take a break.
Let's figure it out.
Yeah. Well, we will figure it out. I mean, I think we're doing our part to try to raise interesting questions and try to get to the bottom. When we have fighters in, we've asked Demetrius Johnson questions, Matt Hume questions, so many Robbie Lawler questions, Rory McDonald questions. Anyways,
got
good to take a break.
Today,
exactly.
Today.
So we're trying our best to answer the question or ask the questions people want to hear. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, more of Five Rounds Today. Welcome back to Five Rounds Today. John Ramdean and Robin Black chatting about kind of everything.
Yeah,
we're looking at, of course...
It's fun. We just hang out and chat.
It is fun.
Like we're
it
just,
is fun.
You know, like closest friends you can have, and we get to sit down here and just talk.
Nerd out.
Nerd out. It's great.
We talked about the Fight Night card, Poirier, Duffy. Main card, if you're in Canada, right here on
killer,
FN.
Killer,
very,
killer.
We're very, very fortunate. Demetrius Johnson was supposed to be here.
Yeah.
He's not coming in. But instead, we're heading out to Weyburn, Saskatchewan, to call Prestige FC. Our man, Cord, bringing us out there. Scott Zer. Going to be – it's one of my favorite things in life to do is to get to sit cage side with you and see this up-and-coming stock of martial artists battle it out. Because, again, especially when you have when you see the honor involved, because to be there, to be sitting at our booth at the broadcast table and you hear the effort and the grunts and the pain that these guys are going through – and afterwards, when you see them hug, to me, it's just very few things can compare to that.
I often get to go in and do the interview after. You've done that, right?
Yeah.
And sometimes, like, you got, the way these guys are lit up, and I felt it. I can feel it from them, you know, that feeling of what you've just done. You've changed. You're different right now than you were 30 minutes ago. And blood is still coming out of some spots. And they're just so, like, you're so alive because you have done something. Again, this, if you look at it this way, you see that there's no such thing as a bad fight. Okay, let's admit there's such a thing maybe as a fight you do not enjoy. But if you just take a moment to really think about what these guys did for you, it really boggles your mind. But they are different. No matter how it went, they are different human beings than they were 30 minutes ago. And you get to talk to them, right? And we get to talk through it. And we've been really lucky fighters. I think we are naturally – we come from a good place because we're naturally really, really enthusiastic about it. We want to do a great job. But they really they seem to like when we call their fights because we try to really tell real thing of what they're
but
doing.
But I think it's different because I see the way that fighters interact with you and the way that fighters interact with me. You know, I'm fortunate to get do what I do. I think they appreciate the fact that I'm putting them on a pedestal and showing them – showing the world that what these guys do and girls do is – really just sensational.
Yeah.
Just the fact that they're willing to risk personal injury to go out and entertain people. Fighters look at you different because they know that you've been in the trenches. They know that I can say anything and this guy understands. This other guy holding the mic is like,
That's not true.
No, I know what you mean.
You know, honest to God, when I chat with somebody who, if they mention or even just know it, they know I wasn't a good fighter or I wasn't above the intro level of fighting. But when a Brian Stan or something calls me brother, there is a – you feel something. It's really, really – it really is special. But, you know, we'll call these fights. They're going to be great. And it's going to be a lot of fun. Really awesome fighters. Yeah. Alex Ricci is really –
Kurt Southern on the card.
Yeah, Kurt Southern – His striking looks awesome. If Adam Lorenz, if any of the guys from their gym are watching right now, Adam, bring some pads because we want to work some of the Ludwig system with you. And I'm sorry I just said I was team favorite, but we'd really like to do that because Dwayne's brilliant. But yeah, it's going to be fun. And you're around like the culture of small. I mean, I can't recommend highly enough.
Yeah.
If you listen to our show or you watch our shows, you like things similar to what we like or you turn us the fuck off.
Yeah.
You know, so trust me when I tell you that a grassroots live MMA show,
it's something.
And being around it all weekend and stuff, and the, you know, it really is something special.
If you are in Weyburn, Saskatchewan, and it's October 24th, make your way to the Crescent Point Place. You will be entertained. Charmaine Tweed on the card, but Del Nalo on the card,
and Cyborg.
She's down to scrap it out. So I promise, the fighters that are on this card, you're going to be entertained.
Yeah, absolutely. How was rolling with Charmaine?
Yeah, she probably thinks that I'm just this big, uncoordinated nitwit.
Did it hurt?
Oh, of course. It hurt every time.
Yeah. I was rolling with Sarah Kaufman, or working with Sarah Kaufman. I can't roll. She's way better than me. But I was working with her, and I know we're friends, and Adam, her coach, is a very, very good friend of mine. I think she also, we've had a fun, like, rivalry, kind of teasy kind of friendship. She's kicked me very hard before. But when she was choking me, like, it was really, really hurting my neck, neck cranking and stuff. People do not understand when somebody's like, oh, Demetrius Johnson couldn't crack an egg. You're out of your mind.
Yeah.
Or, wow, these women, they don't hit. You have no idea how hard Misha Tate could drill you in the face or how hard
my
Sarah
8-year-old cracked me. I can't remember what I did. I did something to bug her. And she labeled me an 8-year-old across the side of the head, and I had to act tough because I'm
a
dad.
Yeah, it's a teacher,
but
like, we don't hit
people. That hurt. Yeah. So you can imagine a professional athlete landing that shot to the side of your head.
Yeah.
You're getting hurt.
Yeah, Joanna Jędrzejczyk, if she punched you in the face, but these are the things that are impossible to understand, and you've made that point a lot of times. It's because if you have fought or trained or been exposed to it a lot, you get a different insight. And I didn't really connect with that, but I'm starting to now. It's like, how could you understand how hard Joanna Jędrzejczyk punches? But Sandy Seguras, who's a Canadian boxing champion, has fought for world title many times, 135 pounds. She had drill me in the face to the point that, you know, I was one of her only sparring partners because it's embarrassing to get beat up by a girl every week. She hits so incredibly hard, and she's throwing really hard. And so – But how could anybody know that just by watching it? Also, when you see Joanna Jędrzejczyk drill somebody 15 times and they live, you think it's you can do that. But what's happening is this incredible toughness and heart and desire and drive of the other person is what's making them live. Rory and Robbie, any single one of those blows ends the life of the average human.
We're taking a final break. When we come back, we're going to wrap things up on this edition of Five Rounds Today. Final segment here on Five Rounds Today. Man, you look at October 24th, we have Fight Night, Poirier versus Duffy. November 7th, Fight Night 77, Belfort versus Henderson 3, Dan Henderson, Vitor Belfort. November 15th, Holly Holm and Ronda Rousey are doing a breakdown.
Doing a breakdown. Dana White personally asked me to do this.
Super cool. Very excited. You're the man. November 21st, Brown versus Gastelum. Matt Brown, Calvin Gastelum. November 28th, Benson Henderson, Thiago Alves. Man, it's looking pretty good. And then, of course, December, you got the three cards back to back to back. Conor McGregor, Jose Aldo, Chris Hyde,
I can't even deal with that one.
Is there anything in particular you're looking forward to? I think when I think of all those, as much as I love Rockhold and Weidman, that's the fight I really want to see. I really want to see Robbie Carlos Condit, man.
Those are the two, for sure. For sure. I mean, Rockhold and Weidman, for me, I don't know that I've ever really been...
Like, my hands get sweaty.
I know. If you really look into this one and you take it all in, who they are and what they're capable of, you know, although someone could win the fight quickly... Mm-hmm. I think it's easy for people to potentially underestimate Weidman. I'm not sure why they still do that, but I think they can. But, man, like, someone might win it in a minute, but no matter what, this has the craziest potential.
I will tell you, though.
I can't even deal with
it. On Sunday night here in Canada, we aired Jon Jones versus Daniel Cormier, and I really have to see them fight again because it was so close. Uh-huh. Cormier just toughed through it. Jon Jones was super creative, and he his flow was awesome. Yeah. He wanted to hurt Daniel Cormier. Cormier wanted to hurt him. They were busting through things. Oh, it was really remarkable. If Jon Jones is getting better, as he says he is, Daniel Cormier's gotten better. The idea of that next fight is going to be sensational. That is it for us this week. He is Robin Black. I'm John Ramdean. Next week, we'll take a closer look, or I guess a closer look, at Dustin Poirier and Joseph Duffy and other stuff that's going on. We'll talk about the entire landscape of mixed martial arts. Maybe we'll talk about some of the regional shows that are happening all over the globe. We got to thank our man, Chase Kaiser, for putting everything together. More importantly, we got to thank you guys for tuning in. We'll see you next week.